Please lie on your back. How does the right shoulder region lie on the mat and the left shoulder region? And of course, as you notice, what does it mean? How does it lie? It could mean where you have contact, where you don't. But you also notice other sensations. So you may notice discomfort or tightness or numbness. And the shoulders, where are the shoulders? How much of the upper back are the shoulders? There's some shoulder blades back there, then there's the spine and the ribs between the shoulder blades. But also, whatever is happening in the muscles of the shoulders, it'll also show up somewhere in the neck, because many of those muscles actually attach to the neck and the spine, and even all the way up to the skull. So, how does the back of your neck feel? On the left, from the middle to the left, from the middle to the right, kind of behind the ears. Or for that matter, the side of your neck, below the ears. And could check the front as well, why not? And from the shoulders downward, if you check the contact with the floor, where in your back do you no longer touch? Is it at the waist or a little bit before you come to the waist? Earlier than coming to the waist. And then as you go further down, where is there contact again? And that will be somewhere in your pelvis, in the back of the hips. On the left or on the right, could be clearer on one side than on the other. Or again, those can, anywhere in us, of course, can be areas of either discomfort or numbness, even as if you know that those parts of you exist, but you don't really sense them. And each leg is lying on the floor, so feel which parts in the back of one of them touch the back of the thigh, the back of the calf or the heel, as well as the other leg, the back of the thigh, the back of the calf, the heel. And each arm, does one arm lie more restfully than the other on the floor? And please roll to lie on your right side. Bend your knees comfortably. Have something underneath your head. And place your left arm to lie across the side of your pelvis. So the left wrist or the left hand rests on the left hip. And with very small movements, begin to take the left shoulder forward and then just back to where you started. And so it doesn't go backward, it just goes forward into the starting place. And do you feel anything in the chest, in the front, when you move the shoulder either forward or backward? Is there any sense of what happens in the back? Does the shoulder blade, maybe you don't know where it is precisely, but it doesn't matter. It's somewhere there. Do you have a sense that it's moving away from the middle of your back, moving away from the spine? Or if you sense something in your neck or head. Of course, the head Your head can lie, hopefully comfortably, on the support so that you don't have to hold it. Perhaps you can check with your jaw and mouth. And then leave that for a moment. And now you'll move the shoulder, but now from the starting place backward. Just from the starting place backward, the same kinds of questions. Check with the side of your neck on the left. Have the jaw be as soft as possible. Any sense that the shoulder blade is actually now moving towards the middle of your back, towards the spine? And is there anything in the back itself that you feel move? The back itself being ribs, actually, with muscles over the top. Therefore, you might also feel something in the ribs in the side, underneath the arm, where the arm's resting, or the ribs in the front. And the hand stays quiet, right? The hand stays quiet, and the elbow doesn't lead. It can be quite a challenge to first find how to start the movement with the shoulder. Mostly when we use our arms, we use the hands, and then the shoulders just sort of do something, and we're not even quite sure what. So just pause a moment like this on your side. And begin to move your shoulder again, but this time join the forward trip to the backward trip. So you take the shoulder forward and then through the resting place backward. Like in the hand might slide a little, but basically it just kind of rests quietly and softly. And as you take the whole shoulder and the whole way of forward and back, is it clearer to sense perhaps that something's happening in the breastbone, which is literally the bone between your breasts, maybe even in the ribs below the breast, behind? How low down in the back do you feel something happening? How much is your head resting and easy? And again, pause, stay on your side. And take your shoulder up towards the ear and back to the middle. And if your palm rests on the hip, it'll be easier. And as you lift the shoulder, do you feel something in your neck? Do you maybe breathe in or breathe out as you lift the shoulder, or is the breathing separate from the movement? And then pause a moment and just take the shoulder again, forward and back, and see if something is a bit different after you took it upward a few times. Always checking that the wrist is easy, the hand is easy, and it's the shoulder starting the movement. Leave it, please, and lie on your back. And observe if some of the parts with which you have been moving and giving them attention, moving them with attention, right? We can move many parts of ourselves without attention. The attention is to the task that we're doing, but not to ourselves. Do you feel them in any way more clearly after having moved the shoulder, ribs, the chest with attention? Do you feel them more clearly even in the stillness? Maybe the shoulders lie differently, or the arms along the contact points. The sides of your neck. And please lie on your right side again. And move your shoulder to the front, and then from there go upward. So you go from the front to kind of in an arc upward, and then in an arc backward. That's right. So, or another way, just do that a few times. So it's like a half a circle. So from the furthest point in the front, you make an arc that goes upward and then backward, and but not a full circle, not a full circle, just half a circle, just half a circle. So from the back, when you're in the back, you go forward by going up. So from the back, you make a half circle going up, going forward. That's it. And so notice how your ribs are involved with that. Can you possibly let your hand just lie on the side of your pelvis? So that means the half circle might be smaller and your hand may slide on the side of your pelvis, but just so you don't have to lift it. It's unusual to use the shoulder without doing something with the hand, but it gives a chance to feel perhaps more what's happening with all the parts around the shoulder, the collarbone in the front, the neck above, the ribs in the back behind the shoulder blade, the ribs and the chest bone in the front. And make that half circle smooth and light and easy, even if it becomes smaller. So it's really smooth. No places that you hurry through, no places that you jump through. And really imagine that half circle. Imagine that half circle. So it's not just more or less a half circle, but as if there's a half circle that's drawn there. And you are making a point of tracing it. That's it. Notice that sometimes an image like that actually makes the movement smoother and clearer. Lovely. Leave that. Lie on your back. And notice if there's some further difference in how any parts of the left side of you lie on the floor, or the side of the neck feels, or the side of the face even. Roll to your right side again. Rest your left arm on your trunk. And take the left shoulder downward. So as the left shoulder goes downward, it's softly, and your hand will slide down. Really softly, so there's nothing special that you have to do with the chest. If you don't do anything special with the chest, then you can begin to notice if something happens by itself. Shoulders moving away from the head, so what are the sensations in the side of the neck? Are there any parts of your trunk on the right side that actually get a little closer to the floor? Your ribs on the right side as you slide the left shoulder downward. And the ribs on the left, do they slide a bit in the direction of the pelvis or get a little closer to each other? Just pause a moment. And go downward again with the left shoulder, and when you come to the middle, keep going through so you go upward to the ear. So the shoulder now goes downward and then returns to its resting place, just in a straight line, first in a straight line, just from down to up. And as the journey is longer, as the trajectory is longer, is it clearer to listen to your other shoulder to the side of you that's lying on the floor? Or maybe to begin to feel that there's something happening slightly in the pelvis. And now take your shoulder down and then forward from there. So you make a complete circle now. So you go down and forward and up and back and then down again. And particularly get interested in where it's not a circle. Where it's not a circle, go through there slowly. Go through there easily. Let your head be so how does the head be? Just listen to the parts of your head that rest on the support. Head is round, so it might, if you don't hold it, there might be a response through your head. Change direction of the circle. And are there parts of yourself that you suddenly or slowly realize are involved now that the whole circle is happening? Something in the pelvis on the side that you're lying, the right side or on the left side, or is it clearer how the head, if it's not fixed, would get involved? And leave that, lie on your back. Simple movements, really simple movements, but with a very precise pathway through space. What difference does it make to the way that you feel yourself resting on the floor or breathing or feeling parts of yourself, regardless of whether they're resting or not? And the shoulder circle, of course, can be done with much less attention without having it first be a half circle or first be forward and back or up and down. So it's not just the movement of making the shoulder circle that's helpful, but really giving attention to the path of the movement, the parts of the path, and the quality of smoothness and speed, and to notice where a movement is more jagged or cut off or not circular, the attention will not be as clear either. So please roll to your right side again. And now your left arm can rest wherever you would like. It can rest on the with the hand on the floor in front of you a little bit, but maybe not on the hip, because you're going to begin to bring your hip, left hip, upward towards the shoulder. And then just to where you started. And it might take a while to, it's a very unusual direction. It's as if you're shortening the left side of your waist. As if you're shortening the left side of your waist. Yeah, and actually you can put your left hand on the side of your pelvis because that may help to notice what direction that pelvis is moving in. And then you can also move your pelvis downward away from your head, so further than the starting place. And listen to the area between the right side of your waist and the floor. And when does that area get smaller? And when does that area get larger? When your left side of your pelvis goes downward, does that create some space in the waist on the right side? And if anything happens with the ribs on the both sides, on the right side, on the left side. And then stay like that, lying on the side. And begin to take your left hip a little bit forward and a little bit back from the resting spot. So it's not that you roll your whole self. It's as if your leg, really, it's the left knee will slide a bit forward and a little bit back. And which way's forward and which way's back? Well, forward is not in a straight line forward, but it'll be in the more in the line in which the knee is resting. So bend your knees a bit more. That's it. So the hips are a little bit more bent. And so you slide the left knee. You really slide the whole left leg. It's a very small movement. So the left knee slides a little bit forward of the right knee, and then it slides a little bit backward of the inside of the right knee. And it's really, it can really make it be the hip, that it starts with the hip. More important to be clear than to be large, so you can go a bit more slowly. Okay, just rest a moment. You can lie on your back to notice if already just the first examinations of the movement of the pelvis and the knee. And again, usually when we move the leg, we move the foot to put it on a step, to go down a step, to go up a step, to put a shoe on it. And it's very unusual to be asked to move the pelvis, the hip. So it's important to explore that, begin exploring really slowly and softly and attentively, because it's a new task. It's a part you've had your whole life, but to begin examining really clearly, can I move myself starting with this part? For sure the pelvis moves when you do start movement with your foot and your leg, but it takes a while for the brain to get clear how to move starting from the pelvis. So roll to your right side again. Bend your knees, and if you bend your hips so that the knees are a little bit more upward, that's usually a good idea. And now make a circle with the hips. So you go a little bit forward and up and back and down. See if you can lead with the hips. So there's the hip, the part that your hand is resting on. And then there's a part of the pelvis that is the bottom of the pelvis, part that you sit on. And then change directions, change directions, change directions. Make it small, make it light so that whatever happens through the chest or through the spine or through the shoulder is secondary. There you go, that's it. And as you make it light and soft, listen to the parts that aren't so circular and find out what can you do there. Keep the belly easy and soft. At the belly button, below the belly button, above the belly button. Okay, good. And leave that and let rest on your back. Roll to your right side again. Take your knees, put your left arm to rest on the side of your pelvis, and take the left shoulder forward and back, and find whether, how does it travel now? Forward, does it travel back? Do you feel more clearly what happens through your trunk in the front or in the right side where you're lying or in the back or lower down through your back? Make a circle with the shoulder. And as you make a circle, is it clearer, first of all, the circle itself? Does your head stay softer with it? You can change direction. Is more of you further away from the shoulder down to the belly or even the pelvis somehow resonating with this movement? Good. And then just rest a moment on your side. Put your left arm on the side of your pelvis and bring your shoulder downward as you bring the side of your pelvis upward so that they go towards each other and then they go away from each other. Really easy, easy and lightly. So you can leave the whole left leg resting. So it's not that the left knee goes up, it's just that the left hip goes up. Right? The left hip goes up to the left shoulder and then they go apart from each other, they go together and then they go apart. And then see if you can take them both upward. Both go upward. Both go upward and then both go downward. And both downward, both upward, both downward. So that it can be smooth and light and easy and nothing doing, nothing important about it. Nothing important about it. Yeah. Good. And pause. And can they go both together, forward and back? Both together, forward and back. And forward. And back. So the shoulder goes forward, the knee slides forward, the shoulder goes back, the knee gets pulled back. That's it. And can they go opposite each other so that when the shoulder goes forward, the hip goes back? And when the hip goes forward, the shoulder goes back. Easy. It's really not important to get it right away. It can be quite a challenge for the
chest, the belly, the back. And rest a moment on your side. Again, make a few circles with the shoulder in any direction you'd like. Is it any smoother than before or lighter? Change direction. And larger, it's not necessarily larger, just smoother and lighter. It's really more useful for the human being. And then let the arm rest and make a few circles with the pelvis. Left side of your pelvis. Find if the pelvis became more intelligent or the buttocks became more intelligent to go in a circle. Mouth is still soft. Let's change direction. And do you notice that as you make a circle with your pelvis, that the shoulder seems to go around in a circle as well? So can you make them both be, have the shoulder be a little bit more active than it was before? So it's not just following, but it's really actively also participating. And do you notice that they go together in the same direction? So when they're both back, they're both up, they're both forward, they're both down. Can they both change directions simultaneously? Yeah, sure, why not? Would you like to see if they can go opposite? Maybe you need to stop. So when... what would opposite be? You can think of it as a puzzle that you need not solve. But if they're opposite, then when one is forward, the other would be back. Clearly it slows you down, has to slow you down. There's thought that has to go into it. So if one is forward and the other one is back, if they're opposite, and they're also opposite the whole time. So when one is down, the other one is up. When the shoulder's down, the hip is up. Breathe, breathe. Much better for human beings to breathe. Okay. Leave it and stay on the side for a brief second and just make a shoulder with the circle. In one direction, in the other direction. And it may be that as the shoulder becomes more free of the chest and more free of the back, that at the same time you feel the chest and the back and the neck and the head and even the belly and the pelvis more. Change direction. And lie on your back. Compare, rest.
How wide do you feel from the middle to the left? Through the shoulders, through the pelvis, as compared from the middle to the right. Do your neck and face feel any different? The left arm and leg compared to the right arm and leg. And now roll to your left side. Lie your right arm along your trunk and take the right shoulder a few times from where it's resting upward and to the starting place. And then from the starting place downward a few times. And what do you think it is that stops the shoulder there from going a little bit further? Is it something maybe in the way you might be holding your neck? And make a line of the whole journey. So from up to down, a number of times. Is it clearer and easier already to listen to this shoulder, even if it might be more difficult to move it? Is it easier to put your attention through it? Just rest like this on the side. And take the shoulder a few times forward into the middle. And you already listen to how the shoulder blade in the back goes away from the spine, or what happens in the collarbone in the front, or the chest bone. And then from the starting place backward a few times. Joining the two directions, you go from the backward to forward, and does your head roll a little bit with this movement? Not because you roll it, but because you're not keeping it plastered or stuck to the support. And do you go further forward or further back? Rest like this on your side. And start again with taking the shoulder forward, but take it a little bit less forward, like half the trip forward, and then the whole trip back. And as you go backward, can you keep your belly free? The part at the above the belly button, the part of the belly below the belly button. And then from the backward place, begin to make a half a circle. Make the top of the half circle. So upward and forward, and then the half a circle going upward and backward. And really see the whole
journey, see all of the trajectory, the whole arc of the movement that you're making. And then begin to add the lower half of the circle so that you'd have a whole circle now. And as the shoulder moves and the head perhaps begins to roll, what do you feel on the left side that you're lying on the shoulder or on the chest, the left side of your chest below the armpit, or the left, change directions, or the left side of your pelvis? Good. And leave it. Slowly lie on your back and rest. Is the right side of you beginning to lie differently? Or spread differently on the floor, or breathe differently, or feel like it's a different texture, or different quality made of a different substance. With the tightness in the muscles, we end up feeling as a hardness of ourselves, or as a thickness. And when the muscles begin to give up their holding, it's possible to feel that the substance of which you're made is somehow altered. The quality is of the materials different. And of course, the more smoothly you can find the pathways of the movement, whether it's straight lines or circles or half circles, the more quickly that experience of the substance can melt and mold and meld. So roll to your left side and bring your knees so that the hips are comfortably bent. And begin to bring your right hip forward, or you can think of it as bringing the right knee forward, as if it wants to just peek forward in front of the left one. And back to the middle, so just to the forward. It's a really small movement. If you look for a large movement, you'll have to make a big rolling action of your whole self. And we want to find out just what is the small little movement of the pelvis, because that way it pivots on the other hip joint, actually, so that as you bring the right side of the pelvis forward, as the right knee slides forward, you're pivoting the whole pelvis on the left leg, the left hip. And then from the middle, a few times, you take it back, the right side of your pelvis. And the pelvis is really quite large, so which... are you thinking about the part of your pelvis that's just below the waist? Or what happens if you think about that part of the pelvis that is really very low down at your buttock? Almost like the part of your pelvis that's close to your tailbone. If you have your hand on the side of your pelvis, you will probably feel the highest point is actually not the pelvis. The highest point is the leg on the side. It's a big bump of bone that's just below the side of the pelvis. So what did you think of taking the right side of the pelvis below that leg bone backward. And continue the movement, but now join the back to the front, slowly and softly, slowly and softly. Remember that the more smoothly you really find how the knee slides forward and back, how the hip moves forward and back, which part of the hip moves forward and back, the more the quality of all the muscles will change and the movement will become smoother and the muscles will work only as much as is necessary rather than more. And that's why the quality is important. Of course you can do the work with more muscle and think they'll get stronger, but then they'll just get short. Okay, slowly leave that, rest on your side. And the way that we move, to feel how we're moving, can really, in the beginning, have a very different quality than how we move to get things done. There's no hurry, there's no deadline. You must send something, you must make a circle. It's different than I must get to the car, I must pack a lunch, or I must chop this carrot. This is, what does it feel like when I move my pelvis? So what does it feel like if you now begin to take the right side of your pelvis upward and towards the shoulder and then away from the shoulder? How does that feel? In the smallest movement, when do you first recognize that your pelvis is not just lying there, but that actually it's moving in this very peculiar sideways direction where the waist gets a little shorter, the waist gets a little longer, and can you begin to notice what happens with the shoulder? When the pelvis goes downward, does the shoulder go down? When the pelvis goes upward, does it carry, kind of push the shoulder upward? And can you do something different so that when the pelvis goes upward and the waist shortens, can you shorten the waist even more by bringing the shoulder downward, but not forward, just downward along the side? So the shoulder slides down, the hip slides up, and then they move away from each other. The shoulder goes upward and the pelvis goes downward. And take your time. The best part, or the part of this movement that makes the most difference, is exactly if you go slowly to find how to do it. Not if you rush to do it, but if you go softly and discover how to create the picture of the movement. If you don't have the picture of the movement, then you'll just do some movement that may be something in the direction, but not really clear, not really helpful, not really softening of the whole quality of yourself. And now let the arm rest and just do a few more movements of the pelvis up and down and let the shoulder come with it. So most likely, if you don't actively take the shoulder opposite, it will go directly with. So the pelvis will go down, the shoulder will ride down, the pelvis will go up and push the shoulder upward. But maybe now, even more likely than it did before. Leave that, lie on your back. so that all the muscles can begin to learn how to be ready to work, but to work softly. And if there's a reason to generate more power, they can, but they don't have to always powerfully begin to make even the simplest of movements. Roll to your left side, bend your knees, put your right arm to rest along your pelvis. And how is it now to make a circle to take the pelvis up and down a few times? Take your hip up and down a few times, just like you did seconds ago. And maybe after the rest, you find a new approach. You find a new simpleness to it, right? New simplicity to it. And then take pelvis, the hip forward and back. That means the right knee slides a little bit forward and back. And maybe there's a new simplicity of that. And notice how the shoulder gets carried forward, it gets carried back. And feel the simplicity as it is in the movement and as it is in your breathing. And then pause in the middle. And with the same kind of simple approach, not complicating it with extra effort, take the pelvis backward and the shoulder forward. And then the shoulder backward and the pelvis forward. And if it gets stressed and complicated, then stop. Stop and let them go together again so that you can remind yourself what it actually feels like when you're not straining. Because for sure, the first step is to learn how to do simple things without straining, but then the second step is to learn to do slightly more complex things without straining. Our straining can become so automatic that you might not even notice that when you're taking now not the shoulder back, but you're taking the elbow back. And then we lose the sense, so the shoulder goes back and the arm rests. That's it. And as the shoulder goes back and the pelvis go forward, something extraordinary happens between the pelvis and the chest. And in the ribs themselves and in the whole back. Make sure your head is resting. If you need to move the supports, you don't need to lift your head. Move the supports so your head doesn't fall off the supports. That's it. Move them backward a little bit. Good. That's it. Rest a moment. Rest like this on the side. And make a circle just with the shoulder in one direction a few times. So there's some different way that the spine between the shoulder blades, that the whole chest, that the ribs on the left participate to make it easy for the shoulder to move, that change directions, so the shoulder slides, but somehow the ribs also move, get further from the pelvis, closer to the pelvis. And let your arm and shoulder rest and make a few movements of a circle of the hip joint. Take the pelvis. And notice the smoothest parts of the movement and the quality there. And then the parts of the circle that don't feel so smooth, make them softer, maybe a little slower, so that you can approach them with the same quality. Mm-hmm. Change direction. And notice that the shoulder somehow echoes in the background, reflects the same circle. So when the pelvis goes up, the shoulder goes up. When the pelvis goes forward, the shoulder goes forward. And activate that a little bit more so that the shoulder is not just following, but also moving as if they're the pair of them are. And then if you'd like, If you'd like, do a few movements of taking the shoulder forward and the pelvis back. The pelvis back and the shoulder forward. Have them go opposite and feel if all the parts of you between the hip and the shoulder feel like they mold more, they turn, they twist more to let that happen. And then pause in the middle and bring the shoulder and the hip together and apart. But easy, easy, easy. It's not the knee coming up, it's the side, it's the waist shortening on the right side. It's a very small movement. It's a small movement. It's a small movement. Especially in the shortening. It's a small movement. That's it. The shoulder doesn't have to go forward, just downward. That might make it even smaller. Yes, that's it. That's it. Good. Good. Now, bring the shoulder and the pelvis together and keep them there. The shoulder and the pelvis together. And now take the shoulder back. No, keep them there. Okay. Bring the shoulder and the pelvis together and stay there. And then take the pelvis forward and the shoulder back and keep them there. Then take the pelvis down and the shoulder up. And then take the shoulder forward and the hip back. And keep going. See if you can. That's nice. Lovely. Very good. Very nice. So when the right hip is back, the shoulder's forward. And then the shoulder and the hip come together, they go apart, so that at each of those four points, they are opposite each other. And, or something like that. Leave it, just make a few circles with the shoulder, feel how that is. It feels through the base of your skull in the back, through the side of your neck, your breathing. And make a few circles of your pelvis, the right side of your pelvis, one way. That's it. The other way, feeling through the lower back. Good. And roll to your back. Do your contacts feel fuller or wider, more similar side to side or more different side to side than when we started? How does each leg lie? How does the right arm lie and the left arm lie? Breathing, feel. Are there parts between the shoulders or at the shoulders, the neck, or any parts of your back that feel more present or in a way less present, right? When there's discomfort and pain, a part can be present with too much forcefulness, too much demand of pay attention to me, do something here. And at times when the quality of the movement equalizes through the trunk, through the limbs, the way in which parts call to themselves is different. Can feel more smooth and more one whole than parts demanding some attention or help. And of course, any time you can
roll to one side, come to stand, and just find how it is to feel yourself in standing after this. Take your time.